Great. So, yes, last time I spoke, a couple of weeks ago, I spoke about ripples, and just what happened was I kind of spoke about that, and I thought that was it, but I felt like God gave me a second part to it. And for those of you that weren't here, it's on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, but I spoke about us kind of what I saw was like a picture of when you look at like a pond or a lake. And you see something drop into it, and the ripple just goes out really, really far. And you're amazed just how far something even very small, like a pebble, goes, and the ripple just continues to go out. And actually, that God wants us to impact places like that. What I saw was not just one ripple, but just like a whole load going across. And so we looked at the early church, you know, when the church first started after Jesus ascended. And I'm reluctant to use the word church because that wasn't the word that was given to these people. It was just a movement of people who had fallen in love with Jesus and had the power of the Holy Spirit with them and went and spread it like those ripples wherever they went. And the three things that I encouraged us with was that they did as an early church was that they gathered together in lots of different ways. And remember that I said, Ray, helpfully, I think you said it was 1,000 years when I asked the question about when the first church building was built. And I said, can anyone have a guess? And she guessed way too high, and it kind of ruined the whole impact of what I was saying. But we pretended she said less. And anyway, and it was actually 300 years after that kind of church movement started that a church building was built. So, you know, we make it about the building, but actually it was about movement. So they gathered together in all sorts of different ways. That, you know, wherever they went, it was the power of the Holy Spirit at work with them. It wasn't structures, it wasn't an institution, it wasn't any leaders or authorities or governments that were kind of pushing this out, but actually it was just the movement of the Holy Spirit. Wherever they went, there was healings, there was people coming to faith, and those people went and spread the gospel even further. And the third thing was that it happened at seasons of growth with a lot of momentum. And then seasons of severe opposition where people were trying to literally kill people because of their faith and put them in prison. And so it just encouraged us to make sure that we gather together in all sorts of different forms, that we have relationship with each other. And that means online as well. They didn't have online then, but we have like our Zoom calls and everything like that as well. So it's always important to do everything through the power of the Holy Spirit rather than just through structure that we think has to be there. And also in seasons of growth and momentum and in seasons of struggle, just to continually just keep on going, because that's what spread the church was when they scattered out. And so that was what I spoke about with ripples. But today I felt like that was like the bigger picture. Today I feel like it's more personal because I'm talking about investment. And it's not personal, so don't take it personally, but it is personally as well. So just take it a little bit personally, but not too personally, if you get what I mean. But you know what? Investment, because God has invested in us. We have God, the Holy Spirit, living inside of us. And what are we doing to invest in the world around us? You know, I'm going to be speaking from Matthew chapter 25. So if you have a Bible or you have a phone you want to get it up on, then please do that now. And I'll read it in a minute. But first of all, I want to ask people, you know what? If you were given 20 years' worth of salary, all in one go, what would you invest it in? Go on, shout it out. Property? Yeah, fair enough. Massive holiday. What, just one big one. Blow it all on one. Love it. Harry Potter merchandise. Yeah, it's fair enough. Fulham season. Oh, mate, this is pretty dire now. Anybody else? Pay off the kids' mortgages. Yes. Okay, brilliant. Can you adopt me as well? If you ever get any investment, just do that as well. I've not got a mortgage either. I'm renting yet, so just buy me the house first, then pay off the mortgage too. That'd be great. You know what? When I was in a youth group in church, they asked a question about, I think it was something like, if you're on a desert island, if you had to go to a desert island, what three things would you bring? And like the first thing on everybody's list is like the Bible, because they think they're in a youth group and they need to say it. But in reality, you all know none of you would bring a Bible with you. Like it's just not even first on the list. Not even going to be the number three. But you know what? Jesus invested in his disciples. He invested in the people around him, and he invested in us as well through his word. And as we're looking at Jesus before we go up to Easter, one thing I'm looking at the moment is he spoke in parables, in stories. And parables are like, they're stories that are fictional that he made up, but they're realistic as well. So it's not just like completely like aliens going down or whatever. But it's, you know, it's realistic. He basically invented EastEnders, I think. You know, it's kind of like a soap opera kind of thing. Or maybe Neighbours. I think Neighbours would be more of a kind of, you know, appropriate one. Yeah, brilliant. It'd be more familiar with his values, I think. But he spoke in parables, and you know what? He spoke in these stories to tell people something about God. And I look at these stories, and sometimes they're short, sometimes they're longer, but you think, you know what? These are spiritual truths about God. And you know how many parables there are in the Bible, maybe in the New Testament from Jesus? Maybe around 40. But there's 13 that describe what the kingdom of heaven is like. And that's what I'm looking at today, is a parable that talks about what the kingdom of heaven is like. So these are moments where you think, this is Jesus saying this. He knows what the kingdom of heaven is like. And we need to just receive that, what he has for us. And what it says about the reason he spoke in parables, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 10, the disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see, and though hearing, they do not hear or understand. And in verse 16, but blessed are your eyes because you see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." So what Jesus is saying is that he tells these stories so that people can understand about the kingdom of heaven. But the key to understanding it is that actually you need to allow him into your heart to speak to you, and to have the, you know, not just eyes to see what's in front of you, but eyes to see and ears to hear the truth of what he's telling you. So I'm just going to pray for that quickly, Lord. I'll just pray as we share this story. This story, Jesus, that you told, that we will have eyes to see and ears to hear what you're doing and what you're saying to us. So we listen to you right now and pray you speak to our hearts. Amen. And so this is the verse. It says, Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 to 13. "Again, the kingdom of heaven will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags of gold, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who'd received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who'd received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. 'Master,' he said, 'you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. So his master replied, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.' The man with 2 bags of gold said, 'Master, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I've gained 2 more. So his master replied, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things, and I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.' Then the man who'd received 1 bag of gold came. 'Master,' he said, 'I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you.' His master replied, 'You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest.'" So this is what the kingdom of heaven looks like. You know what? I asked that question, what would we do with 20 years investment? And you know what? The translation of this passage is, I think to our ears, we don't quite hear it in the same way, because we just hear 5 bags of gold, 2 bags of gold, 1 bag of gold, 1 bag of gold. We don't really understand what that means. But the original translation talks about talents, and a talent was basically 1 bag of gold that the servant received, the third one. That would have been about 20 years' wages for a day laborer. So they would have got 1 denarius for a day's labor, and then they would have worked 6 days a week. And so for 20 years, 6,000 would be 1 talent. So it ended up being 20 years of salary that this guy's got. So we hear it and we think, like, one guy's got 50 quid, the other one's got 20, the other one's got 10. Like, this is a lot of money. Like, this story is supposed to be quite shocking for people to realize that this guy just went and hid it in the ground. So what I want to do is just walk us through this passage. And you know what, in verse 14 it says, again, it'll be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. And so, you know what? God's entrusted his kingdom in us. You know, he's invested in us. Holy Spirit is living inside of us. And we're walking around almost with this gold, like with this 20-year salary, and not even realizing what we have. And you know what? It was in the news this week. There was a female professional golfer, Georgia Ball, who was at a driving range taking a few shots, and this guy came up to her and started doing what they call mansplaining, where he basically started saying to her, like, giving her tips on how to play golf, basically. And he said, I've been playing for 20 years, you should swing like this, you should do like that. Little does he know that she's a professional golfer, right? And so he's explaining to her, but he doesn't even realize that this person's had all the training she needs. She doesn't need advice from some random guy at a driving range. You know what, sometimes it's a bit like that. It's like, you know what, we've got something, we don't even realize what we have. And what do they do with it? You know, what God's invested his kingdom in us. I talked about ripples. In order to make a ripple, there needs to be some kind of movement, some kind of action, right? And God's invested his kingdom in us, and something, we need to take action on it. We need something to move in us in order to take that investment and put it to good practice. So I want to ask you, like, a question just to challenge us and to get us thinking. When people talk about investment, they talk about like a portfolio of investment, like you diversify what you're investing in. And you have all the different areas that you're investing in, the different things, the different assets, the different commodities. Right now, if you look at your life, what are you investing in? What are you investing in? And I don't want to get like I'm looking for people to answer out, shout out, by the way, but I don't want to get like the Christian answers. But actually, what are we investing in? And then the verse that came to me, and it sounds like a harsh one, but it's Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. And it says, God cannot be mocked. A person reaps what they sow. And I think, you know what, the truth that we're getting out of this passage, we talk about Jesus saying the kingdom of heaven is like this. The truth is like this, that what you put in is what you will get out. What you invest in is where you will see fruit. And in this world, you know, there are things that I think, like, sometimes we're sowing things that aren't good for us, and we don't even realize yet that they're not good for us. I was reading that tobacco, people didn't know for a long time that tobacco was bad for them. And you know what, it's one of those things where it probably made, we think about it, well, yeah, you're lighting something that's really, really harsh, and when you smoke it makes you cough a lot. You probably realize after a while that would make you bad, but it was almost like everyone just said, no, it's fine. No one said it's bad yet. The science hasn't proved it yet, until eventually they did, and then suddenly it was bad for you. You know what, there's things that I feel like in society right now that are actually bad for us, but we don't even know it yet. I watched a video this week about the iPad generation of kids, and it was scary. Like, honestly, sometimes we don't realize that there's children that are growing up with screens and all sorts of things. And I know there's plenty of stuff in our own childhoods and generational childhoods that also had issues as well. But there's things that we just take and we just go, yep, that's great. And actually, it's bad for us as well. So I want to ask again, what are we investing in? I think some of it takes like discernment, you know, that actually, Lord, I pray that we have discernment to see and to hear the things around us, to see what's good for us, to see, you know, that there's balance in things as well. We're not suddenly demonizing iPads and demonizing screen time and all these things, Lord, but to see that there's balance in everything, and that we need to make sure that we're investing well with what you've given us. The next thing in this passage is, I love the third servant, because like, I just relate so much to the third servant, so much more than I think we all kind of like to think we're the first and the second, when really we're so much more like the third. Like, he had 20 years salary. What's he going to do with it? Buried it in the ground. And I love the point where the master comes back and it's just like, he asks the first two and they give him a straight up answer. This is what we did with it. And he gets to the third servant and he kind of like starts to go around the question a little bit and says, oh, I know you're very hardworking, that kind of thing. And it's almost like he mumbles the last bit. Like, so what did you do with it in the end? I put it in the ground. And sometimes I feel like that with God, like almost like I suddenly realize, you know what, I'm living day to day and I'm just putting his kingdom, the things that he's placed in me, just burying it in the ground. That's it. Not even putting it in the bank, not even getting the interest on it. And you know what, this story is supposed to be shocking for people. Like the hearers at the time would be like, right, he's got this money. What's he going to do with it? He put it in the ground. Like, I can't believe someone would do that. But let that sink in for a minute. I'll pray Holy Spirit bring just that loving conviction. You know, the Holy Spirit doesn't point a finger of judgment, but just gives a little tug on your heart from time to time. So I pray right now, Lord, just tug on our hearts, because I know for me, sadly, sometimes that analogy isn't that far from the truth. What I want to say about investment is that I think sometimes we kind of make those excuses like the servant did. You know, we think, If only I had more time to pray. You know, if I wasn't so busy, I'd spend more time in prayer. If I wasn't so busy, I'd spend more time sharing the gospel with people. If I wasn't so stressed, then I could be, you know, a little bit more friendly when I chat to people, maybe show them the love of God a little bit more. But for me, the biggest wake-up call was COVID during the lockdown, because all those things that I used to make excuses for, like I would spend more time doing this and spend more time doing that, suddenly I had more time and I probably got worse at doing them than better. I realized, you know what, the answer isn't time. The answer is actually investing with what you already have. And so that kind of brings me on to the next thing, which is that there's, I think in this passage, there's three areas we need to win in order to invest well. You know, like you look at life sometimes, you think, you know what, sometimes you need to just grab life by the horns and just take some victories and win some things for yourself and for others as well. And there's three areas I think we need to win in order to invest well. The first, it comes up in verse 15, where it talks about he gave the bags of gold to everybody, but it says that he gave to each one according to his ability, according to what's already there. And that's the first thing for us. The area we need to win is our circumstances. Like I just said, rather than thinking circumstances need to change before I invest more, it's just invest with the circumstances you have. Allow the Holy Spirit to work through you with the circumstances that you have. You know, what I ask, what's God already given you? What's already right in front of you that you need to invest in? And you know what, we're often stuck in a place of waiting for God to give us more rather than realizing that we can invest with what we already have. And I was reading this passage actually, Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5 says, if you've raced with men on foot and they've worn you out, how can you compete with horses? If you stumble in safe country, how will you manage in the thickets by the Jordan? You know, we're all guilty of wanting to run before we can walk. We're all guilty of wanting to take on more responsibility, of wanting to go higher before we've even actually just been where we're at and just serve God where we're at. You know, investment isn't just about time as well. It's actually about our heart. And I just think, you know, sometimes when I was talking about ripples, I was talking about church and the early church and talking about the way that church should be. And I used an example where I said that sometimes the enemy loves to bring persecution and to scatter us. But I think more often than that is to bring comfort, you know? And the way to make us comfortable is to give us the building, to give us a time to meet, to make us dress up formally so that it's just a formality rather than anything else. But the danger in what I was saying there is that it makes it sound like if our lives are busy, then we can't live out the gospel properly. You know, it makes it sound like for those that have the time, they can come along to life groups and they can come along to the Zoom prayer call and they can come along to Monday moments and they can come on a Sunday. But unless you're doing all that stuff, then you're not doing church the right way. And actually, I just want to speak against that for a minute, because it's not about changing the circumstances. It's about investing with what you already have. And so, you know, I want to go back to that passage, that verse that says, you will reap what you sow. And when I say it's not just about investing your time and investing your heart, about investing your heart instead. What you will get out is what you put in. So if church is an empty ritual, then what you'll get out of it is empty. If you read the Bible to tick a box, it won't fill you, because you're not putting your heart in it. You're not investing in it. And you know, I speak for this from personal experience. I have one of those verse of the day calendars. My mum's always got me one every year where you pull off the verse every day. It's just a little paper calendar. And most of the time, I go up to it in the morning, and the first thing I do when I come downstairs, make myself a cup of tea, and I pull off the verse. And you know what? It's scary recently how often I've come back in the evening and read the verse and thought, you know what? I read the verse in my head, but I didn't read it. Like, I didn't even take it in. Like, if anyone asked me, I don't have a clue what it said, because actually I'm not investing with my heart. I'm just doing what I think I have to do in the morning, which is probably like pleasing my mum, because she used to get me these calendars even when I wasn't a Christian. But you know what? I think some people need to hear this today as well, is in terms of you getting a return on what you invest in. Sometimes God's calling people here to invest in things, but it's like they've got one foot on the boat and one foot on the land. And you know what? That's the worst place to be. Like, it's better to be on the land or on the boat. But if you've got one foot on the boat and one foot on the land, as soon as that boat starts to go, you're going to get pretty wet. But often what we're guilty of is asking for the return before we've invested. And you know what? With that picture, I saw it's like someone wants to set up a business and they've worked out everything they need to do, a business plan, all that stuff, and they've got it all there and they repeat it to everybody. I've got this business. I'm going to start it. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. It's going to make lots of money. I've worked it all out. I've done all the accounts. I've worked out everything. But they've not actually gone and taken the step of leaving their job and starting the business. Or they've not taken the step of investing the money in it. I feel there's people here today who they've got everything there. And I'll say it to myself as well. We haven't taken that step of faith to step onto the boat. So Lord, I pray right now, just convict us that you put it so much on our heart to invest that we're willing to step off that land and step straight onto the boat. And I pray if that's for someone right here, Lord, may that word bless them. It's not a word of condemnation. It's not a word of judgment. It's a word of encouragement to keep on going, to step out in faith and to trust in God. So that's the first thing is about investing despite our circumstances. The second thing is the battle of the mind. And you know what? I think with this passage, I'm just going to chuck this over here for a minute. I think with this passage, I look at the third servant and what I see is comparison. I see, you know, that person's got five bags. That person's got two. I've only got one. And you know what? When I first read this passage, I felt a bit sorry for them. Until I realized how much money it actually was. It was 20 years' salary. And I thought, you know what? Wealth is relative, isn't it? You know, it really, really is relative. And sometimes we envy others for what they have, and then we get it. And then we envy others for what they have, and then we get that. And then we envy the other ones instead. And there's always more people to envy and more things that you could have. And I fell for this myself. You know, me and Lydia, when we first got married, we were living in a room in our pastor's house for 3 years. And you know, we didn't have any money at all. Neither of us were working. I was a student. Then finally, we moved into our first flat, but we were 8 months pregnant. So then I had my salary. My first salary was about 1,500. Our rent was about 1,100. So, you know, we had £400 to pay the other bills and do everything else. You know, we didn't have much money. And we used to look at others and think, you know what? Like, they don't realize how much they have. They don't realize when they buy themselves a dinner set that they can afford a dinner set, which seems like a normal thing to afford, but we couldn't even afford a dinner set. And then, you know, Lydia got a job, and then suddenly we could afford a dinner set. And then we looked at other people that own houses, and we go, oh, it's a shame we rent and other people own houses. And then we were living in a flat, a one-bed flat, and we thought, it's a shame we've only got one bed. And then we envy people that have two beds. Then we moved to a two-bed flat. Then we envy people that have houses. Now we're living in a house, and at first it was amazing, and it felt like we're almost moving into like a holiday. It was like, this is amazing. We have stairs. We've got a garden. We've got like a whole French window rather than that tiny little window we had in our room in the pastor's house. And then suddenly now it's like, oh, this is starting to feel a bit small now, and the kids are growing a little bit. And look at those other people that own a house. Wouldn't it be great if we owned a house? And you know what? Wealth is relative. And I look at this guy, and I think he sees the others and he thinks, you know what? They've got five, this got two. It's not even worth me investing. Comparison, I think, is the biggest killer of where we invest. And it's like, you know, barbershops. I don't know what it is about barbershops, but there's always like five in a row. Like you could travel 2 miles with no barbershops and suddenly you get five in a row. Sometimes you start something up that you feel God's telling you to do, and you realize other people are doing it, and often they're doing it a little bit better, or they're doing it a little bit more polished. And you know what? It makes you think, oh, maybe I was wrong for doing that. But actually, you know what? God's often putting the same thing in different people's hearts so that they can work together. And instead, they're just setting up five different barbershops. He's like, you don't even get the point. So comparison is one of the biggest killers. You know what? I think the other thing, the battle of the mind, is our perception of God. And you hear it with this third servant. He says, I knew you were a hard man, so I was afraid, and I went and hid the gold in the ground. I think sometimes people perceive God as like this judgmental God who's going to rain down judgment. Yeah, and I think often we project onto God the feelings that we have and the things we experience from other people in our lives. So if you have an authoritarian figure over you, who's hurt you in the past or made you feel judged, suddenly God becomes that authoritarian figure that we think is going to judge us and hurt us as well. You know what? I want to just speak over you. Romans 8, chapter 38. Here we go. Chapter 8, verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? Lord, I pray right now that you just show us your heart for us. I pray right now you bring healing to the hurt from the past, from people in authority over us, from hurt in the past, from people that have said the wrong things, done the wrong things, or even people that we've taken offense from that actually they weren't even doing anything wrong. We've just got it wrong in the first place there as well. And I pray, God, that we don't see you in the same way. You know what? I think the other side of this is sometimes we hide it in the ground because we want to play it safe. But ironically, it's playing it less safe than putting it in the bank, right? It's like, I don't know if I struggle with this all the time, is when you have something scary coming up and so you just put it off. And it makes no sense because you know by putting it off, you're more likely to mess it up. Lydia's passport needed renewing, and she told me it needs renewing, and she said, oh, can you look up how to do it and stuff? So I was like, yeah, great, I'll do that. And then I realized we're getting quite close to the renewal date. And so the closer we got to the renewal date, the bigger it became, and so I left it even longer, and eventually we had to get like a last minute appointment. You went this week, didn't you, and spent several hours in some dingy visa and passport office that they make you go to and make it a horrible experience to get your Indian passport. But you know what? Sometimes we just play it safe, and we keep thinking, you know what? I'm going to play it safe. I'm not going to step out. And the church has been invested with us. We are his church, and I think the thing that kills the church more than anything is being passive and playing it safe. And you know, we go around the country, walk from church to church, walk into this place. How often do we just play it safe and think, you know what? When we get to the end, we'll go, God, you know what? We protected your word. We made sure that we didn't contaminate it. We made sure that we did communion. We made sure that, that, you know, anyone that came in that was a little bit crazy, other than Pastor Jamie, anyone else, we made sure that we, you know, we got rid of them pretty quick. You know, all those things, those political stuff that, you know, it was trying to guide people away, we kept it safe. We made sure we cut out that as well. But all we did was just bury it in the ground. Didn't go and invest it. The third thing is battle of the will. And you know what? I think this is another passage that I just feel, for me, really speaks to me. It's Romans chapter 7. I'm just going to read verse 18 out. It says, I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. You know what? How often do we in life want to change? We want to change things in our life. We never feel like we've reached that goal. And we always say, well, I want to change this. I want to do this differently. But we never reach the goal. We make those excuses just like the third servant. But you know what? What I encourage people today with is just two small steps. There's two things, actually. One is to make small steps. The other one is to look at our trajectory and look at where we're going. And the first one with the small steps is actually, if we want to invest the kingdom of God, then ask yourself this question every single day. How am I going to invest in people today? And the second question is, how am I going to invest in my own faith and my relationship with God? You know, if we do those two things, I think we'll be investing in the kingdom very, very well. You know, if after we finish today, your first question is, how am I going to go invest in someone else right now? That's very, very different to thinking, how am I going to get home and switch on the TV and make some lunch? Ask that question every single day. How am I going to invest in people? You know, how am I going to invest in relationships? You know, we say we're a church, we say we're a family, and sometimes we act more like distant family. You know, we get together once a week, have a little chat, have some polite conversation and then go home. But actually, if we want to invest in people, are we going to message them? Are we going to ask them how they're doing? Are we going to meet up with them? Are we going to make sure that, you know what, even with life groups, I think, you know, we've got life groups, but there's some people that can't do a life group because of their circumstances, like I talked about earlier. But that doesn't mean that we can't be investing in people. That doesn't mean that we can't set up a WhatsApp group with three people that we're close to and say, you know what, let's just stay accountable. Let's keep messaging each other. Let's keep supporting each other. So those are the small steps. The other thing is trajectory. You know what, sometimes we look at our life, and like I said, what we're investing in right now, based on what you're investing in right now, where are you headed? Where are we headed right now based on what we're investing in? And you know what, I want to encourage people today, because I really feel that sometimes there's things that need to shift. Sometimes there's points where we realize that it's almost gone on too long. We realize, you know what, some things need to change. I need to bring some change here. And I came across a verse today that really spoke to me earlier this week. It was Joel chapter 3, verse 10. It says, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am a warrior. You know, I just see that we think we need swords. We think we need spears, but God's saying, take what you've got, beat it into a sword. Take your pruning hooks, beat them into spears. Let the weak say, I am a warrior. And Lord, I just pray that as we want to invest in you, I pray you sharpen us. I pray you grow us. I pray you speak to us in incredible ways. I'm just going to invite Steve to come up and play, if that's all right, mate. And I want to have a bit of time to just allow God to invest in us right now, to show us what he's investing in us, just to respond. And so as part of that, I want to invite people just to stand up, to take some action. So can we stand up, please? So I pray, Holy Spirit, speak. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. What have you got in your hands? I invite you to just think about right now, what have you got in your hands? What have you got? Is it just a gardening tool? Beat your plowshares into swords. Beat and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I'm a warrior. So God's invested in you. The Holy Spirit is invested in you. How are we going to go make ripples? How are we going to go take action? Holy Spirit, I pray right now you just drop into our hearts. What's the daily action we're going to take? What are those small steps? How are we going to serve you? How are we going to invest in other people? How are we going to invest in relationships? How are we going to not look at our circumstances as things that hold us back, but how are we going to look at them as opportunities for investment? Even in the most mundane tasks, even in the 9-to-5 that we hate or that we dread the Monday morning, it's all things that we can invest in, all things that you can speak to us through, because we're investing in other people. We're investing our relationship with you. And there's other people here that I feel like actually what you need to hear is, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things, and now I'm going to give you some more. And I believe, you know what, there's times in our life where we choose how to respond. And there's times in my life where things have happened and I've not responded in a good way. But there was a dark time for me just before I came here where some things happened, but this time I matured a little bit more. And I had a very, very small amount, but I felt like God said, be faithful with it. Don't go and complain to others. Don't go and gossip. Don't go do all this stuff. Just be faithful with the little thing that I've given you. And so I was. And I came here and I got more than I bargained for. And now I'm having to learn all over again to be faithful with it. And it's difficult. It's so much easier to hide it in the ground. But slowly over time, God just keeps on saying to me, right, get your spade out, dig it up again, let's go and invest it. And I invest a little bit and then go put it in the ground again. He goes, right, let's get the spade, dig it up, invest it again. You know what? These stories are always like one or the other, either or. They're like absolute, you know, either you're the good servant and you've done everything right, you've been faithful with a few things, I'm going to give you more, or you're the bad servant and you've just buried it in the ground. Reality is, we're all a bit of all of them, aren't we? Sometimes God gives us big things and we mess up completely. Sometimes he gives us small things. We're faithful with it. Sometimes we're not. So well done, good and faithful servant. And I believe there's people here that God wants to give you more. So Lord, we go and invest. We go out of here. We just take everything you've given us. We look at it. We say, what have we got in front of us? We take it and we choose to go and invest it in faith. We will get back twofold what we put in. Not just for ourselves, but for your kingdom, Lord. So I pray, as we spoke about those ripples, Lord, that we go out in places that we recognize what we're doing. We recognize that we are setting off ripples in different places, God. That it's not all dependent on us, but it's dependent on your church that you've called. So Lord, I pray right now that you trigger us every day to say, Lord, how are we going to invest in the people around us? How are we going to invest in our relationship with you? Before we ask for more, we'll ask God, are we investing enough? So I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you just you show people a way forward. You don't make them feel guilty. I feel like, you know what, I don't want it to come out of this is that people feel like they're not good enough or that they can never overcome these things. Holy Spirit, help us. Help us where we don't change. Help us where we don't invest enough. Help us where we hit a wall of anxiety every time we go to share with someone or speak to somebody. Because I know if we bring it to you, you'll help us to find a way through it. Not to remove it, but to find a way through it. So Jesus, we commit these things. I thank you for what you've invested in us. And I pray as we go out of here, may we be a church that invests again and again and again in people. Despite our circumstances, despite the battle of our mind, and despite the battle of our will. In Jesus' name, amen.